Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin. We are from Third Space. You can find us there at wearethirdspace.org. And this is Turning Towards Life. And you can find that, if you want, at turningtowards.life. And we are back for our 430-something week, 8.5 years or so into this conversation. And Lizzie, it's wonderful to see you. And for all of you who are joining, whenever and wherever you are joining from, we know that you join from all over the world at all different kinds of times, in all different kinds of circumstances. I want to say hello and thank you to the friend of this podcast and the friend of Third Space who wrote to us this week. Thank you telling us about the experience of listening and talk to us about having to stop dead in the middle of the street, stop still in the middle of a walk to work and wondering, listening, and all the other people having to adjust to her suddenly stop in order to listen to what was going on in the podcast. It was so sweet to hear, and thank you for writing to us as well and telling us about that. So we know that this reaches people in all kinds of ways, and whether you've been with us over the 8.5 years or some other long time, or whether you've just found your way into this conversation, you're very welcome. And we are very shortly going to do what we always do, which is to take a source, a luminous piece of writing, Lizzie, that you've found for us. Yeah. And we will read it, each read it to one another and to all of you. And then we're going to unfold into an unhurried conversation that emerges in this three-way between the two of us and the source, but it's also a three-way between the two of us and all of you, and maybe also with life itself. So the only other thing I want to say before we begin is there are lots of ways to engage with us and this podcast over at turningtowards.life. You can sign up for our emails. You can support us there. Thank you to all the people who are able to support us and continue to. And if you head over to wearethirdspace.org, you can find out about the coaching learning that we do. And we've got exciting things coming up there as well. And I think that's all the preamble for this morning, Lizzie. And it's wonderful to see you there looking back at me. And hi.
Hi, Justin. Justin, you're reminding me, and I want to do a shout out to Jody and Rod, who I know listen probably most weeks. And one of the things I remember Jody saying was that they began listening and they didn't know what on earth we were talking about. It always makes me laugh that's how it works in some ways, that people come across us and they're like, oh no, what on earth is this? But the sweet thing about Jody and Rod is that they just stuck with it. They could feel something, I think. They stuck with it and stuck with it. And apparently now they do know what we're talking about. And I love that. So we have all kinds of different people engaging with us and all kinds of different ways of receiving it, like that wonderful person stopping in the street and being, hold on a second, that's making everything different in the world now. What do I do now? And I love hearing that. So I just want to encourage everybody to reach out to us, Justin, and say what it's like to be on the end of this, or leave us a review, or send us a message, an email, anything. We'd love that. So this is two parts of a 6-part piece of writing by the wonderful Joy Harjo, and it's called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. And we're going to read part 4 and part 6. And the whole thing is beautiful. Please go and find it. It's wonderful. And much too long for Turning Towards Life, this little episode of ours. So I have taken part 4 and part 6 with the encouragement that we all go and read the other parts. It's really, really extraordinary. So here we go. Part 4. Reduce defensiveness and break the defensiveness chain. I could hear the light beings as they entered every cell. Every cell is a house of the God of Light, they said. I could hear the spirits who love us stomp dancing. They were dancing as if they were here, and then another level of here, and then another, until the whole earth and sky was dancing. We are here dancing, they said. There was no there. There was no I or you. There was us. There was we. There we were, as if we were the music. You cannot legislate music to lockstep, nor can you legislate the spirit of the music to stop at political boundaries, or poetry or art or anything that is of value or matters in this world and the next worlds. This is about getting to know each other. We will wind up back at the blues, standing on the edge of the flatted fifth, about to jump into a fierce understanding together. Part 6. And use what you learn to resolve your own conflicts and to mediate others' conflicts. When we made it back home, back over those curved roads that wind through the city of peace, we stopped at the doorway of dusk as it opened to our homelands. We gave thanks for the story, for all parts of the story, because it was by the light of those challenges we knew ourselves. We asked for forgiveness. We laid down our burdens next to each other.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Joy Harjo. His work, I know, is absolutely luminescent and extraordinary. And this is parts 4 and 6 of Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings, which we will place these parts in our show notes, and you can then we'll put a link to the whole thing as well. So part 4. Reduce defensiveness and break the defensiveness chain. I could hear the light beings as they entered every cell. Every cell is a house of the God of Light, they said. I could hear the spirits who love us stomp dancing. They were dancing as if they were here. And then another level of here, and then another, until the whole earth and sky was dancing. We are here dancing, they said. There was no there. There was no I or you. There was us. There was we. There we were, as if we were the music. You cannot legislate music to lockstep, nor can you legislate the spirit of the music to stop at political boundaries, or poetry, or art, or anything that is of value or matters in this world and the next worlds. This is about getting to know each other. We will wind up back at the blues, standing on the edge of the flattened fifth, about to jump into a fierce understanding together. Part 6. And use what you learn to resolve your own conflicts and to mediate others' conflicts. When we made it back home, back over those curved roads that wind through the city of peace, we stopped at the doorway of dusk as it opened to our homelands. We gave thanks for the story, for all parts of the story, because it was by the light of those challenges we knew ourselves. We asked for forgiveness. We laid down our burdens next to each other.
Thank you, Justin. I genuinely do not know where to start with the brilliance and the, you keep saying this word, luminous, and I think it is just that, the luminosity of this, the shining a light where, so Justin, I picked this, I sought this out because this weekend there was a conflict that I was in. And I felt myself drawing on something that I kind of didn't understand in a way. And everything got very complex very quickly. And I felt thrown, as maybe many people do, into a kind of bucket of complexity that I didn't know how to navigate, really. And what I noticed is that in the moment, something else came to bear that wasn't the normal habitual me that was needed in order for there to be something productive happen rather than separation or withdrawal or all of my defense mechanisms kicking into place, all my protectors coming in and hauling me out of there and running for the hills. When I say protectors, I mean the protective parts of me that don't want this conflict at all to happen because it's afraid. The part of me that's afraid, the part of me that is small, fearful, worried, and doesn't know if they can really handle it. That part is real in me. And that protector part in me comes forth a lot. Even when there's no conflict present, I can feel there's parts of me that try and avert conflict in all ways. So I just don't say something, or I stay quiet, or I mitigate in some background way so it doesn't happen, or tread on eggshells, or whatever I do. And so when it comes, it's not my natural way of being in the world to be in conflict and to face into things, although I've got much, much more able over the years. And then I saw this and felt that I had somehow made contact with something like this yesterday, where what I had reached for was not of the order of right and wrong, was not of the order of black and white, of who's this and who's that, but it was of the order of we and the order of us and the order of story. And somehow I managed to bring that forth, probably clumsily, but it was better than black and white, if you know what I mean. And when I saw this and I felt these words, I realized just how hard it was yesterday for me, and how important it is that that is there, and that in Joy Harjo's words, it was by the light of these challenges that we knew ourselves. Like something happens inside of this where we don't agree with one another, where it's not okay, where I don't feel welcome, or, you know, all those things that happen. Inside of that is the way that I get to know myself, and something gets forged. And so to avoid that suddenly feels very like an empty life in a way. Like I wouldn't get to know myself in the way that is meant by being human if I avoided this all the time. And so I felt the mattering of this source, and the source in this, in its entirety, is extraordinarily beautiful. And these two parts are also crazily important. There was no I or you, but there was we and there was us. Like what? Like who might I be in the world if this was my narrative? These two parts for me. What if my orientation was always we, in the context of conflict? And what if my orientation was always, in the light of these challenges, we know ourselves? What kind of courage that kindles in me? What kind of faith? What kind of very different set of actions come to pass if that is what I'm holding as my story when conflict comes and when disagreement arises and when we seem to be standing in very different places? And to be skilled enough to be like poetry or art that doesn't know the political boundary but keeps on connecting, keeps on being interested in the we, how the world might be so different, and what a leader Joy Harjo is by painting this possibility for us in these beautiful words, that we can grip onto these, use them even in a situation we find ourselves in, and have them be our scaffolding for conversation, relationship, and finding a way forward.
That's very moving, hearing you talk about this, Lizzie, and one of the thoughts, there's so much to say here between you and I about what you just said, let alone responding to Joy's poem. And I think in a way that's exactly the place that I want to start, that I appreciate that what you're saying and that what Joy Harjo is saying in this poem isn't either Joy or Lizzie's three-point plan for resolving conflict under every circumstance. That it's something of a different order is going on here, that the invitation to a radically new way of understanding ourselves and what's going on, right in those places where our deeply intelligent but sometimes way out of date or way too small, protective parts and protective strategies come up with their own intelligent way of responding that keeps our understanding too narrow about what's going on. And this poem is filled with alternate understandings about what's happening and who we might be when we find ourselves in the midst of conflict. And I think that the problem with rules for dealing with difficult situations, they might be a good place to start, but what they don't do is they don't, or techniques, what they don't do is they don't invite us into a whole new world of understanding who we are, who others are, what might be going on, that then can open up paths that we couldn't even imagine before. So here, when we're in the middle of a heated conflict with maybe with people we really care about or about something we really care about, what would it be to be as if we could hear the light beings as they entered every cell and know that every cell is the house of the God of light? Even there, something new might open. Or there's no really I or you, there's just the music, which doesn't stop at political boundaries. Or there's, this is about us getting to know each other. Or there's, we're about to stand on the edge of the flattened fifth, so this is in the blues scale. It's a sort of distinctive part on the blues scale. We're going to stand at the edge of that note, and we're about to jump into a fierce understanding together. That whole part adds up to something. With all of that together, it adds up to something even bigger than I can express here. But it seems to me that it's of the nature, we are both the kind of beings who can fall back on familiar stories and strategies because they've served us in the past and they were intelligent at some point. And I want to really respect the intelligence of that. But we're also the ones who can draw on our imaginative capacity to reinvent and reimagine what on earth might be going on right in the middle of those situations in which we find ourselves unable to find a life-giving way. We're both of those at the same time, like deeply skilled, familiar with the world, yeah. All of us. And that's something to really cherish. It supports us in all kinds of ways. And deeply imaginative.
Mm.
And so I know that conflict has also been something to learn a lot about. And I know some of the things that happen with my body when I get afraid or when I really want something to go a particular way and how the world kind of shrinks in and I can hold on very tightly and very desperately, try and control things and all of that. But also what it is to learn, and I think this is one of the things Joy is doing, to say, remember, in whatever circumstance you're in, there is a whole imaginative way of seeing and understanding as if something really unfamiliar with a case that might lead us down different roads and down different paths and have us completely and radically re-understand what it is that we are in the midst of, rather than our particular long-built habitual familiarity. So I hear that in what you're saying, and I read it in Joy. And it matters so much that we, maybe one of the things about turning towards our lives is to remember to turn towards our imaginative capacities at those moments that we find ourselves sort of shrinking away, particularly when we're frightened or there's a lot at stake.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you're using the language of roads and pathways, because I, in the experience yesterday, as I reflect on it, I was kind of in the moment going down roads, and I was like, no, this road is not going to work. I can't go down this one. And then I tried another one, and then no, I can't go down that. But I realized it was a process of knowing the roads of I and you versus knowing the roads of we and us. And every time I went down the road of I and you, it never turned out the way I was intending. And so I had to keep trying different roads. in the complexity of the whole thing to enable the we. I think I notice about me that the we thing is the thing, as in when I'm in those places, the longing for we-ness, the longing for the us, is a strong enough guiding light that I can make distinctions as to whether things are going to likely result in we-ness or not. And I'm noticing that that's a kind of in the moment observation and reflection that I have, that I can have, that enables me to make choices in the moment, in complex moments. And by the way, many times, in some ways, the safer I feel, the less choice I have. You know, when I'm in my closest relationships, there's a bigger context of we, of course, there, that much more can happen in. But when it's less safe and there's more at stake in a way, it's like there are choices to be made moment to moment as to what I'm serving, like what is my for the sake of what. And if I can test, like I watched myself doing yesterday, if I go down this road, does it result in we, or does it result in I, or does it result in you? That really helped me. It really helped me to make some decisions that weren't going to take us further down the roads that were not going to serve us. And I'm really appreciating this guidance. And also, at one point I was in the loo washing my hands for a little bit too long because I didn't know what to do. And I feel like this, the bit that you highlighted earlier about the light beings as they entered, I was really reaching for something other than my own mind, than my own reactivity, than my own fear, than my own perspective of smallness and protection in that moment. And so I think when I read this as well, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to find something else than my habitual protectiveness and frightenedness. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't immediately available. I was taken by my fear. I was taken by my worry and concern, and also taken by I and you. I really felt separate. And so it's not an easy, straightforward thing, I don't think, for us human beings to reach for this. So it really matters that we focus on it, that it is part of the conversation, that we know how this exists in the world. This possibility does exist in people, in us, to reach for something that isn't of the I and the you, but is something more whole than that, that serves a much bigger purpose than just me getting what I think is right to happen or something. So I'm feeling really grateful for this and dedicated to it and thankful that this is here, partly for my own reflection of what happened and what happens a lot in the world. Of course, we're always in scrapes with each other, and also a kind of a dedication to the practice of all the stories you were just talking about, Justin, of that's what I could define the world as. I could keep committing to defining me and the world and all humans as those things, as the music. And we know that too. We know the way a song reaches beyond everything to the heart of something and how that changes relationship or changes our relationship to life. And that there are beings around us, the light beings, maybe, as Joy says, that love us dancing, that stomp dance with us. There's a beyondness, something bigger than our small, fearful selves that is right here all the time. And I guess as I see it, is that I have a choice whether to reach for that kind of light, and I can do it, and I feel recommitted to that. And that's one way that I know myself better because of what just happened yesterday. I know my commitment to that better, which I didn't really know before, but in the moment I saw what I could reach for and what I did reach for, and also I saw all my patterns of defensiveness, and I got to know them even better because that thing happened. So it's also, it's both things. It's recognizing my earthliness, my personality patterns and my protectors, and maybe some wounded parts, and also realizing that I know myself as that, but I also know myself as one who's in contact with something a lot bigger that is available when I want, need, consciously seek to cultivate that being part of my thinking and feeling and sensing.
I've been thinking a lot over the last few days about the sacredness of the everyday. And there's this, I think this line in part six of Joy's poem, this part that's about use what you learn to resolve your own conflicts and mediate others' conflicts. And it starts, this is where the reference to roads came from, I think, when I talked about roads before. When we made it back home, back over those curved roads that wind through the city of peace, we stopped at the doorway of dusk as it opened to our homelands, and we gave thanks and we asked for forgiveness and we laid down our burdens next to each other. It struck me whilst you were talking about what it was like for you to be in this situation yesterday, that the sacred, the luminous is in the everyday. We don't need to, it's a sort of mistake that we make that we think that this really complicated, messy, painful situation in which we don't know what to do, in which you go and spend more time in the loo washing your hands, trying to see what would come, that there is no other place to learn our holiness than right in the midst of the everyday, which includes, the everyday includes things that we're familiar with and we know how to navigate. And it also includes all that is surprising and shocking and upending and frightening and to us. And that's what I'm hearing, the way I'm hearing what you're saying, Lizzie, and that is in that spirit, and the way that I take Joy's invitation, which is, this is all an opportunity to find that our ordinary everyday stories might be way too small, and our ordinary everyday habitual tensing up and bracing and clenching responses might be too small. They might have been learned when we were very small, and the richness of what's going on actually defies easy, straightforward explanation. We might have to imagine that what we're doing is, after this, we'll wend our way back home through the curved roads that wind through the city of peace and lay down our burdens and ask for forgiveness. And there's so much richness in this kind of metaphor. And the metaphor of music that is here, it's occurring to me to say, and I don't, of course, don't know exactly what you meant by it, but when you talk about we, there's a too shallow way that occurs in me, which goes, well, the we answer to you and I disagreeing is that we agree, which is just really a version of I, because now I have to get you to agree with me and then we will agree, or the other way around. But there's the we of music that requires a piece of music that moves us very often has that complexity of harmony and counterpoint, of melody and dissonance, of that the we of music is a kind of participative story that we are finding a way to participate with our particularity intact, but attending to the whole of the something that we're in, and not collapsing into, well, we can't talk to one another, we can't listen to one another, we can't be with one another. And that's why I love this line in part one. In the midst of all of this soaring metaphor, Joy writes, this is about getting to know each other. And I think, yes. Not trying to browbeat each other, not trying to, but also not walking away from one another. To have music that does not stop at political boundaries, or and that can bridge worlds, and that can bring us back to the doorways that open to our homelands. Not, I notice in Joy's language, our homeland, as if somehow there's some neat tidy resolution where we all find ourselves in the same homeland. There's something so resonant, and also, I want to keep on using these words, luminous, holy, sacred about our encounter, that the call to be in encounter with one another, that both our moments of great love and agreement and our conflicts draw us into. They're a chance for us to discover our depth and our individual and collective extraordinariness. So yes, I'm glad for this tone of conversation, which is so different from trying to find an easy way out of our difficulty.
Well, just saying, you're leading me into this word forgiveness, and I'll say it a million times, and I'm saying it again. However many times I've already looked at this word forgiveness in my life, I now do not know what it means. Because I know the I and you version of it is, it doesn't matter that you did the thing you did and I'm letting you off the hook or something. I mean, maybe that is sometimes true, but sometimes it is not true, and still forgiveness is a thing. Forgiveness, the possibility for forgiveness in this context, doesn't seem dependent on us agreeing with each other. Forgiveness is something that's already there because it's in the past tense. And forgiveness, yeah, I'm thrown basically into not knowing what that really means anymore, because in the context of we, forgiveness isn't the same as in the context of I and you. And so that is how I'm going to leave this conversation, confused and ready to learn and wonder what my now more nuanced definition of forgiveness might be, and see if I can hold that and wander forth with the beautiful knowing that turning towards life always gives me this, I don't know what I'm talking about or thinking anymore. And I think that's the beauty of all of our sources, is that they take me, us, to edges that feel like new territory. And that really matters, that all my definitions of everything seem to fly out the window, and that I can come anew to words, to language that somehow I've been given over the years, and that I can continually renew and question and wonder and drop my defensiveness about and see in the light of the light beings, maybe, that joy's bringing us. That all of this is us learning and figuring out more and more who we are, what our substance is, by being open to newness and wondering about the nature of life together. So thank you to Joy. Thank you to you, Justin. Thank you to everybody who's been here with us. Thank you for you, if you don't know what we're on about. And trust me, it's okay to not know what you're on about. You can hear, I don't know what I am on about. Lots of us don't know what we're on about, and how wonderful a quality that is. And maybe there's people who know much more what they're on about in these realms, and that's wonderful too. So thank you, Justin. And we're going to be back next week with another luminous, light-bringing source for us all.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lizzie. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.